Muslim boots on the ground will crush ISIS. American politicians have been saying that for some time, and now the Saudis are saying it themselves, having pulled together a coalition of 34 Arab nations to fight terrorism. Is it all just a sham? We talked a little bit early on about this idea that the Saudis are now pulling together a coalition that is going to fight terrorism. And I want to believe that. I really do. Because you know how often have we been saying, why don't the Muslim countries themselves, the Muslim-dominated countries, do something to be able to fight Islamic terrorism? If there really is a difference between the radical jihadists and moderate Muslims, why is it that we don't see more Muslims rising up, more congregations of Muslims, more mosques rising up, more imams rising up, more ayatollahs rising up, and the people in these madrasas and in the leaders of all the different Sunni and Sufi and Salafist and Wahhabis and all those kind of, why aren't they all rising up and putting an end to this and opposing it? Why aren't they coming out? So President Obama and others have sort of patted the Saudis on the back and said, hey, isn't it great that they put together this coalition of 35 countries? Well, I was reading a story about that today, I believe in the Washington Post, that indicated that it's not all it's cracked up to be. First of all, these 34 nations, some of them didn't even know that they were part of it. They didn't even know that they were in the coalition. Like Pakistan was contacted, their foreign minister was contacted, and he was not aware that he was part of the coalition. Some of the countries aren't actually Muslim-dominated countries. They're actually African nations that are Christian-dominated. And so it's not really clear how the Saudis pulled together this list or whether they even asked anybody in any of these other countries whether they wanted to be included in this list. It's also not clear what they're going to do, because they don't seem to have a common purpose. And so the Saudis basically are trying to frame this as a military coalition of Islamic nations that's going to do something to address terrorism. But there are some suggestions in the document that they've released that some of what they consider terrorism is the political opposition that they face in their own country, that the royal family faces in Saudi Arabia. There's also some suggestion that what the Saudis are really trying to do is position themselves as the power center in that region of the world vis-a-vis Iran, because they feel that Iran has become too powerful and they want to set themselves against Iranian power. The other thing about this Saudi coalition that just doesn't quite click is the fact that the Saudis have spent lots of money over the years and continue to spend lots of money establishing radical mosques in Europe and other places, probably here in the United States as well. And the Saudi government has at the very least turned a blind eye, and at the most, wealthy people in the among the Saudi elite and the governing class have funded this Wahhabist sect that preaches this literal Islamist reading of the Quran, which if you follow the Quran explicitly and you want to emulate the life of Muhammad, you're going to wind up cutting somebody's head off. Okay? Now, you may, if you're a Muslim and you say, I don't believe in that kind of stuff, I fully agree that you probably do not believe in that kind of stuff. I don't think that you do believe that. But many do. And if the Saudis are really going to stand up against this, they're going to have a lot more clarity about what it is they're against and what their purpose is. It's not just geopolitical strategery to try to counterbalance the sway toward Iran in the Middle East, where Iran has increasing influence in Iraq and Syria and elsewhere. And it's not just something where they're trying to keep down internal dissent in Saudi Arabia. And it's not just something where they're just trying to sort of trying to spread Saudi hegemony through countries that don't even necessarily agree with them. And in some cases, countries that are not Muslim-dominated countries, they're Christian-dominated countries, if you want to put it that way. Although most of the so-called Christian-dominated countries don't have a explicitly Christian government. It's not like Sharia, where Islam has its own constitution, in essence. It has its own set of laws that are part and parcel of a strict Quranic or Hadith interpretation. If you're going to follow Muhammad, you follow Sharia. And where the Sharia holds sway, then women have a whole different set of relationships to the law and to men and to children than they do practically anywhere else in the world, and certainly in the free Western world. So it's not clear what Saudi Arabia is doing. I pray to Jesus, who is not the same as Allah, as we discussed earlier. I pray that Saudi Arabia is serious about raising up a military force to squash ISIS, the Islamic State. You know, I joked in my latest Scott Ott Thought video, which you can find on YouTube, that, ISIL, as the president calls it, the Islamic State in Iraq and the Levant, ISIL is the group best known for not representing Islam. I think that's what President Obama would like us to believe, that the first thing you need to know about ISIL, the Islamic State in Iraq and the Levant, the first thing you need to know is they don't represent Islam. Just because Islam is in the name doesn't mean it has anything to do with Islam. So I wish upon a star, as Brian Regan would say, I'm wishing upon a star that Saudi Arabia really is pulling together an anti-Islamic state coalition that's going to fight back against these radicals who have hijacked their faith. Don't hold your breath. Now, you heard several of the Republican candidates at the debate the other night talking about how, yes, there have to be boots on the ground to be successful against the Islamic State, but it can be 10% United States, mostly special forces advisors and trainers, and then 90% them, as one of the candidates said. You know, 10% us, 90% them. So this kind of announcement plays into that scenario and says, oh, maybe there is a them. Maybe it's the Saudis and the other 33 nations that allegedly have come together in this coalition. They're the them that's going to put boots on the ground and going to go into a Muslim-dominated area and start killing nominal Muslims. Do you know how unlikely this is to be true? The reality is it's American boys and girls who are going to have to go over and do the job. And it's American boots on the ground that bring liberty to people. And I'm not saying we need to do that now. I'm not saying that's the only way to do that. But I know we can't do it from high-altitude bombing and drone strikes. You can't take and hold territory with high-altitude. You know, it can't all rain in from the heavens. There's got to be people on the earth who can not only call in those shots, but who can take and hold territory and provide a security cordon for the people on the ground so that they can get the kind of medical help, they can get back to, you know, reorganized as a civil society so that they can get education. You realize the kind of education we have to counter with these people? I mean, it's not just you've had people going to boot camp and getting training that, you know, it's like they're going to fight to like the Japanese in World War II to die for the emperor. These people have been raised throughout their lives to believe stuff like this. I saw a video on the internet yesterday or the day before that showed a guy getting beat up by a group of other guys because he was like in a library or something, and he was showing a woman how to use a cell phone. And so he's sitting across the table from this woman, and he's pointing to things on the cell phone, showing her how to use a cell phone. And this guy comes up and smacks him in the head. And then they yank the woman out of there, and they keep beating this guy, and they're punching him, and they're kicking him, and they're dragging him into the middle of this crowd and beating the tar out of him because he was talking to a woman who is, you know, purportedly or ostensibly not his wife. And that was the focus of the video. And then I noticed off to the side, three little boys standing there, kind of with their arms resting on this table, watching it happen. This is their normal. Those men who were slapping the tar out of that guy are their dads and their uncles and their big brothers and their role models. We've had generations and generations of people raised to believe that the Sharia is the way, and that if you violate these rules, we cut off your hands, we throw you from a building, we hang you by the neck, we set you on fire, we cut off your head. That's normal for them. You don't turn that around in no time at all. It takes decades. You've got to be willing to make a long-term commitment. Now, when you say, oh, well, we're not going to be the police force of the world, blah, blah, we're not going to, why would we don't want to station our troops over there for decades? We've got troops in Germany. We've got troops in Japan. We've got troops in South Pacific Islands. We've got troops all over the world in places that were pacified 70 years ago. It's not an absurd proposal. We don't need to have troops in Germany anymore. It suits us to have them there. It suits us to have troops in Japan to be able to counter the threat. It suits us to have of China and North Korea. It suits us to have troops in South Korea. We need to get serious about this threat in the Middle East. I've seen a lot of talk, by the way, that's suggesting that after that Republican debate, oh, you know what happens if you elect a Republican? We get war. They're all warmongers. All they want is war. Now, I think it's pretty clear what they want. What they want is no war here. They want no war in New Jersey. They want no war in South Carolina. They want no war in Texas. They want no war in San Bernardino. They don't want people walking into schools and mental health facilities and military bases and shooting the place up. We don't want war. Americans never crave war. We don't crave territory. We don't crave oil. I mean, look, after we, you know, won the Gulf War, our prices for oil went through the roof. We're like the stupidest conquerors ever. We get nothing. We get the expense and the bloodshed. And we never take anything. In fact, we pay. We restore the country that we just destroyed. We're the worst conquerors ever. Because that's not how we think. As a previous president, I believe it was, said, we don't crave an inch of foreign ground other than that necessary to bury our dead. That's the kind of people we are. And when you hear the President of the United States over and over and over again using that phrase, that's not who we are. And what he means is, hi, I'm Barack Obama. I've just created a straw man, and I want you to know that straw man is not who we are. Well, we know that, Mr. President, because you invented the straw man. We are not your straw man. But we are not the people who want war, not even the Republican Party. Nobody on that stage at the debate the other night wants to send our troops into harm's way. What they want is not to send our babies and our wives and our grandmas and grandpas into harm's way in their own communities, in their own shopping malls. What they want is to recognize the reality of the situation we're in and to crush the threat before it can metastasize and completely consume us. I've said this before, war is not the answer unless you ask the right question. And ISIS, the Islamic State, is asking the right question. And war is the answer for them. Is diplomacy the answer? We're going to negotiate with them. Are the other Arab states, as we were, you know, led to falsely believe, I think, by Saudi Arabia's coalition, are the other Arab states going to rise up and somehow say, hey, ISIS, cut it out. Enough of that crap. That's not who we are. I'm sorry. That's never occurred to me that way before. I would love to hear like the Ayatollah Imam Abdul Jabbar Mohammed, whatever, Daesh, I don't know, some guy who's a leader in the Muslim world go, hey, Islamic State, that's not who we are. Cut it out. No, what we are not like, Mr. President, when you say that's not who we are, we're not people who crave war. We're people who do everything we can to avoid war, but we're also people who are honest with ourselves, and we're people who love our kids and love our wives and love our husbands and love our grandparents and love this American way of life. and we will defend it. And we're not going to wait until they get to Atlantic City and Margate and Ventnor to defend it. We've got to stop them. And the longer the caliphate grows, the more they take territory, the more they are able to draw recruits to them, the more it will appear in the minds of the jihadis around the world that this is it. They're succeeding. Now, the president's answer to that is, oh, you know, as I talked about last week, the last thing we want to do is fulfill the Muslim prophecy of when the Roman puts his boot on the ground in Dabiq, then the Mahdi will come or some nonsense like that. No, what we need to do is crush the caliphate now. And sadly, that cannot be done from 30,000 or 70,000 feet. It has to be done with special forces, with Marines, with soldiers, with staff sergeants. It has to be done with people who eat and sleep and train and live the defense of liberty. We need to defend ourselves, and I don't want to do it in Dallas. And I know that sounds laughable, but look around. They haven't gotten to Dallas yet. Where were they? In Garland, at Pam Geller's art contest. Not far from here. They are among us. Not all of them, but there are enough of them among us that we need to snuff out the hopes of a caliphate as rapidly as possible. So, I was thinking today, I've done two Scott Ott thoughts this week. One, I believe, comes out Friday. The other one came out earlier this week. And the first one was about gun control and Islam. And, you know, these are satire pieces, and you can see that online. And the second one has to do with the Hajj and trampling deaths at the Hajj. I don't know if you heard about this, but back in September, there was a stampede again at the pilgrimage in Mecca. It's actually in Mina, which is nearby Mecca. And at the time, they were saying that there were some 300-some people killed. And then I think later they raised it to 700-some people killed. Well, it turns out that some of the countries from which these pilgrims came started, you know, essentially phoning up Mecca and saying, hey, we're still missing some folks. We got folks who didn't come home. Well, it turns out the actual death toll in the Hajj stampede this year, I believe September 24th, was 2,411. And so I did another Scott Ott thought, and you say, what a horrible subject for a satirical video. Watch it. If you think it's horrible, let me know. And then, you know, I'm trying to come up with topics for shows, for PJTV and for this show, and for my trifecta and the rundown on PJTV and for a variety of PJ media stuff that I write. And it's hard for me to think beyond this stuff. The threat of radical Islam, the easy availability of communications, the easy transfer of funds, the easy acquisition of weaponry, not just guns. It could be pipe bombs, you know. The worldwide distribution and communication networks that we've established have also become a vulnerability for us. And we can't be like the DHS and go, hey, we're not even going to look at your Facebook posts. We have an official policy of see no evil. If you're on there going, hey, thumbs up on that Allahu Akbar beheading kind of thing, going, no, you know, we're not going to look at that. We don't want to know because that's a violation of your privacy. I don't know if I'm focusing in too much on this stuff. I'm not becoming distraught on a daily basis and unable to sleep or eat or anything like that. But it's hard to get lathered up about, you know, the latest budget deal in Congress for $1.1 trillion when this is on the table. You know, how do you really get all fussy about the, you know, who won the debate the other night? You know, what do you think of that spat between Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz? Ooh, weren't they really going at it? You know, how about that Donald Trump? Can you believe George Bush went after him like he did? that stuff just seems to fade. I'm not saying it's not important who we elect as president. I mean the nonsense horse race, back and forth bickering, you know, one-upsmanship that's constantly going on between these candidates. Oddly enough, even though I disagree with him a lot, I thought that Lindsey Graham in the undercard debate the other night seemed like the only one who really was passionate about this threat we face. Now, I disagree with even some of the ways that he talked about it. And, you know, half the time he was saying, number one, we got to realize this is a religious war. And then he'd turn around 2 minutes later and say, but we can't make this about religion. I'm like, okay, Lindsey, I was with you the first time. You're right about that because, you know, at the very least, they see it as a religious war. So even if we don't want to acknowledge that, the facts on the ground would contradict us. But he couldn't seem to get that straightened out. However, Lindsey Graham did seem to be more attentive and aware of the fact that we face an existential threat. What I called last week, the negation of Western civilization is staring us in the face. The negation of Western civilization is looking right at us. And I'm supposed to be writing satire. I'm going to write a little article, going to do a little show. It's hard for me to put this aside and to not deal with it or to deal with something else and act like it's as equally as important. Now, I'll do it. You know, we get up and we do our jobs. And you know what? If I don't write some stupid, goofy satire piece about some insignificant thing that the goofy Republicans did, well, then the terrorists have won. That's another one of my favorite arguments is like, if we do like anything you Republicans are thinking about doing, if we do that, then the terrorists have won. Like, if we elect a Republican for president, the terrorists have won. And so it's just the president straw man. I think the entire Obama presidential library should be made of straw. I think it should be a house of straw constructed by straw men. I think we should get all these guys who are going around going, What was the song? What does the straw man sing? I would not be just a nothing, my head all full of stuffing, my heart all full of pain. I would dance and be merry, life would be a ding-a-dury if I only had a brain. Oh, I could tell you why. The ocean's near the shore. I could think of things I'd never thunk before. And then I'd sit and think some more. I think that should be in the lobby of the Obama Presidential Library. That's what you're greeted with. And there's this guy in there who's dancing around trying to stay on his feet. And that because he is President Strawman. And if I only had a brain is the perfect line for him. And by the way, those of you grammarians out there know that that line of the song is actually grammatically incorrect. It shouldn't be if I only had a brain, because that would imply you had nothing in your body but a brain. You should say, if only I had a brain. But that doesn't sound as good in the song. If only I had a brain. Yeah, it just doesn't work as well. So President Strawman has spent his entire term constructing creatures of his own making, knocking them over, and declaring victory. And right now, his main focus is creating straw men and basically saying, hey, you people are like this, even though you're not like this. You people are like this. And if you're like this, then the terrorists have won. Because, everybody say it with me now, that's not who we are. No, we're not. Because I don't know who we are, but we, me, is different than we, you, I think, Mr. Strawman. I mean, President Strawman. Excuse me, I didn't mean to show disrespect. It is the office of the presidency. and we should honor him. Episode 11 of Scott Ott Podcast is drawn from audio excerpts of a Scott Ott show originally streamed live on Ustream December 10th, 2015. For more information, go to scottottshow.com. Thanks for listening.